Hi, I'm Hans.
And I'm Laura, and we love to go to the movies, whether it's in our living room or at a theater.
And one thing we like almost as much as watching movies is talking about them.
So grab a cocktail.
And let's go to the movies.
Hi, movie fans. This week we watched the 2022 film Vengeance, written, directed, and starring BJ Novak, also starring Issa Rae and Ashton Kutcher.
And for everyone who doesn't know who BJ Novak is, perhaps you would know him as the intern in The Office.
The temp.
The temp from The Office.
Yes.
Okay, excellent. Thank you for the correction, Laura. You are the expert on all things related to The Office. This was an interesting film in which a rather arrogant or at least self-centered journalist who wants to become a podcaster from New York City receives an unusual invitation to travel to Texas to attend the funeral of someone he has known. While in Texas, his experiences turn into an investigation of a alleged murder, which turns into the investigation of a potential murder and a lot of interesting commentary along the way.
Yeah, I would say that's a pretty good summary.
It's kind of a strange summary of the movie, but I'm not really sure how to be more concise than that.
Well, I think there's a lot of things we can talk about, and we'll get into that shortly.
But yeah, that's what we usually do.
But first, how did you rate this film, Hans?
Okay, well, curious to see, as always, how our ratings compare. I'm going to give this movie what I think you may find to be surprisingly high ratings. I'm going to give it a 3.4 for quality. I'm going to give it a 4.3 for quality and a 4.4 for enjoyability.
Ah, interesting. I was going to give it a 4.2 in terms of quality and a 3.9 in terms of enjoyability.
Uh-huh, interesting. All right. Well, curious to hear about why you feel that way. Laura, we all want to know what you thought about Vengeance.
Well, so here's the thing about this movie is that I thought it was intelligent, self-aware, had interesting characters, had good dialogue, had good writing, was well-made. Had an interesting structure, made you think, posed questions, and was overall just a really good film. But in my mind, it had one problem, which is that I didn't love the resolution of the movie.
Okay.
And that left me feeling kind of icky about everything else. And that's why I only gave it a 3.9 in terms of enjoyability, because I was with it until the end. And then the ending just kind of made me feel like, oh, wait, I don't feel as good about this anymore. I thought this was sort of a commentary, and now I'm not so sure. And if it is still a commentary, the implications of that commentary are kind of disturbing to me.
Well, I think actually I've given a fair bit of thought to the ending there, and I think it's maybe a little bit difficult for us to talk about in the podcast, but I think we will anyway, probably because of giving away the ending of a movie. But I think we can be a bit ambiguous and let our listeners know when a spoiler alert might be in order. But, I really agree with all of the first things you said about this movie. I went in with, honestly, fairly low expectations for this film. I was curious about it, curious enough to want to go see it at the theater, which we did. And I thought that it might be an interesting movie, interesting enough. And it turned out that I found it to be a very well-made movie, a very smartly written movie, I thought, and a well-put-together movie overall. I thought that it exceeded my expectations, and I think that as far as sort of like a cultural commentary is concerned, I thought that it was I thought it was really smart. I just thought it was really smart because they sort of addressed a lot of issues that are very easy to sort of hammer on in a ham-fisted way in a movie. And I don't think that it did that. I think it did it with a humor, but a humor that was good-natured and that sort of poked fun at everyone and yet also didn't poke fun at everyone, if that makes at all sense.
Yeah, I mean, I think two things on that. One is that characters that you sort of were set up or you anticipated to be somewhat simple characters, you find out are much deeper and maybe, you know, and much more complicated. And there are, of course, characters that are set up to be very complicated and deep and...
But not too deep.
But not
too
deep,
which I appreciated also, because sometimes I think that a movie that maybe is trying to do a commentary like this does exactly what you're saying there, but they make the characters too deep. And it turns out that the person who you think is going to be a really, you know, dumb yokel local turns out to be really deep and like, you know, like wise beyond their years and whatnot. And that's not the case here. It was more just like...
They were real people. That was the point.
It presented characters that I just thought were very real.
Yeah.
I thought that was... That's hard to do and hard to see.
Absolutely. And this is actually what I was going to, that was the point that I was trying to make, is that put your preconceived notions aside, this approach each person as a person and not, you know, as an archetype or a very shallow expected character. They felt like very real people and very complicated real people.
Yeah. People with whom there's more to them than you expect, and also absolutely nothing more to them than you would expect.
Right.
You know, like a person, like real people are. Do you know what I mean?
I mean, I think what you're speaking to is that in saying that somebody is a complicated real character doesn't necessarily mean that they can have contradictions within them. And that actually makes them more real.
Sure. Sure. That'd be part of it.
But in addition to that, I mean, credit where credit is due. And we made reference to the fact that the writer and director and star of this film, BJ Novak, was on The Office. He played Ryan the 10th, but also he's clearly a very talented writer. Even back during his Ryan the 10th days, he was also a writer on The Office. I believe he became a writer on The Office at like age 23 or something like that. So clearly he has some talent, and I think that talent really comes through in this film.
Yeah, it certainly does. It certainly does. And, you know, testament to him. I mean, this is sort of the trifecta right there, you know, writing, directing, and starring in a film and a really solid one. So I think that, you know, this is not going to be the movie that has the attention of, you know, the Top Gun or the Elvis or the, you know, the major block or the, you know, Jurassic Park or, you know, the Marvel movies.
No, you know,
nothing has that much attention, but.
And it's also not going to be the film that's nominated for Best Picture, but I do think this is a film that we might look back on in 10 or 12 years as part of his body of work and say, man, all of the films he's made have been so good, haven't they?
Yeah, I agree with you about that, and I think that it's definitely been one of my favorite of the more indie movies that we've seen for some time.
Yeah,
some of which have actually seemed to have gotten more attention than this one has even. But I think that this one definitely dramatically exceeded my expectations.
Yeah, I would agree.
You bring up the ending, Laura.
Yeah.
Shall we dive into that for a moment? I had a real tough time with the ending too. I didn't like the ending very much. I was really disappointed, maybe more than anything else, with what he ended up doing with the recorded podcast segments that he had made. You know what I mean.
Yeah, I know.
But I later came to realize that that was actually inevitable for realistic reasons.
Yes, exactly.
That was a little painful to me to see happen. If you watch the movie, you will see this, and you will understand why. As a podcaster, I might find that to be a painful thing to watch. Why? Yes. But of course, there's another action that happens in the ending that precipitates that, and that I think we both found unsettling. We didn't like. I thought about this a lot, and I think that I've sort of come to the conclusion that while I don't like it, I think that that was part of the package of the movie's story, actually, was to sort of talk about sort of the complexity of things and how what is what and how do you react in situations and how one person reacts in a situation that you think is outrageous until you're in a situation and then you act in a certain way and it doesn't make you not the person who you are or anything else. I don't know. I think it sort of played on some ideas of commentary and, you know, the ease with which one judges sometimes in a variety of ways.
I don't disagree with you. And I do sort of think that it, in some ways, it was important, and in that it created parallels between the main character and other characters in the film, where the preconceived notion would be that there was no parallels, you know? And so this created a parallel there. I don't know. It still just didn't sit well with me. Like, the bottom line is that I did think it was, I put a lot of thought in it too, and I don't disagree with you. It's hard to imagine how else the film could have sort of come to a resolution.
Well, so here's one of the things that I've thought about with this scene. And, you know, it's not even a question of a spoiler alert, but there's really, without just like chronicling entire scene for our listeners, you know, there's a scene that happens in a tent at the party towards the end of the movie. And I think that one of the things that I found most unsettling about the action that the main character took is that it struck me as being a little bit silly for him to feel the need to be the one to act on the vengeance, shall we say, take vengeance.
Right.
All right. It's like, oh, come on. Like, why do you care so much all of a sudden?
Right.
But then I thought about it a little bit more. And I'm wondering if, in fact, the reality is he wasn't so much acting out of vengeance as much as he was angry about the truth of the speech that the guy gave in the tent.
Well,
I think that that's something that would make a lot of people who maybe would feel like they can identify with the main character played by BJ Novak. And I think if we were to hear a speech like that ourselves, it would make our blood boil, because it'd be like, I know, and you know, and you're exploiting it, and you know you're exploiting it, and you're going to exploit me, and you're going to exploit the entire country in the process. Ah, I hate you for that, right? And so you can understand that. I think that maybe is what really precipitated him, is the fact that he was that year that bothered him so much at that point that it bothered him more than the actual vengeance that he was taking. He wasn't taking vengeance so much for the death of a person who he had known in the past, so much as he was maybe taking vengeance for the type of person that he was, getting back on. And I think that that also speaks to the fact that it's like, oh, you feel sanctimonious that you're going to criticize them, but yet look how angry you get about things as well. And would you perhaps not act in inappropriate ways also?
Well,
sorry.
I think the other thing is that in that speech, really the curtain was pulled back and he was looking, the main character was looking in a mirror a little bit, because his goal in the beginning was sort of to exploit this story.
Yeah.
And so I think that's where some of the anger came from also, was the idea that, like, I'm supposed to be the one exploiting.
Yeah, which is, which is something that's not, I mean, that's, there's nothing good about that at all. But I think maybe that's part of the point, is that, they're kind of all kind of playing the same game, but just we're all playing the same game, just in different ways.
Right.
And, you know,
the
weapons are a little bit different.
Right.
Maybe you flip the weapons around a little bit, you know, and
I think that's
I don't
true.
Know.
And I think you have a point there, because it is very true. Like, if you think over the course of the film, there's the main character who sort of comes in with the idea that he's going to make a thing out of this for his own benefit.
Right.
And then when he meets the other character that he ultimately has the tent scene with, is putting on a show for the main character, and the main character doesn't even realize it's a show.
Right.
Until the tent scene.
And then he's angry about it because now he feels taken advantage of, which is what he's been doing all along as well.
Yeah.
And so they're all basically doing the same thing. And they're all basically taking advantage of the American public in the process as well by, you know, taking a story and manipulating it for their own aims, one way or the other.
And for that matter, the American public is taking advantage of the story because they're using it as entertainment, as a hobby, as, you know, they're getting into it.
Right.
This is going to be riveting. This is entertainment. Like, somebody's
absolutely.
Life.
Or they're going to see it the other way and be like, oh, this is something So I think that actually, you know, the ending, while it's not something that I like, I think it was smart in a way, you know.
Yeah,
I think
it was coming around to it. I think perhaps as flawed as the main character was, it was sort of easy to see myself in the main character.
Exactly. But I think that's part of it, is this was kind of one of the things, because one of the problems that I had with the action that he took is it seemed untrue to his character to me. It seemed like, oh, come on. Like, why does he suddenly care so much about this? Why is he all of a sudden like, so like,
his identity.
Yeah, so I've been in his identity so as to like show like, nah, I'm with you guys, really.
Right.
No, come on now.
That's
not what happened.
Yeah, you're
right. He was being selfish there too.
I agree with you.
And everybody was being selfish because, you know, some people got what they wanted out of that.
Yeah.
And someone else didn't get what they wanted out of it. But,
well, and even the family of the girl, in like the brother, for example, he was putting on a show to take advantage of the main character.
Yeah, right. Right. I think that all of it was really a cultural commentary in a broad perspective. And I really thought that it was done with surprising subtlety and surprising smartness, I thought.
Well, you know, Hans, I actually think that had I gone back and redone the first segment of our podcast over, I might actually give it higher ratings. In both categories, because as we're discussing this, the puzzle pieces are falling together, and I actually do think that my initial reactions of this film might have been a little bit short-sighted.
No, very interesting. You know, one last thing that I'd like to mention here about this film is I feel like there's been a few movies we've watched lately where some of my comments have been that I feel like it was just too long. I felt like I was getting kind of bored, you know? I feel like the third act was just kind of played out already. I feel like I've said that a lot lately.
Yeah, me too.
And I'm really happy to say that I didn't feel that way here.
No, this film,
I didn't feel that way at all. I was very, very happy. This was not a big, spectacular, like, bam, pow movie that's going to keep your attention because there's so much action happening. But you know what? I didn't think about what time it was through the entire movie.
No, the dialogue was very smart, and there was enough twists and turns that it kept me completely sucked in.
Yeah. So, you know, I think that this is one of those movies that I say it was a real sleeper for me, sleeper in terms of surprise. Yeah. And I say go watch Vengeance. I think it's worth it.
Yeah, I do too. I mean, even with my initial ratings, I definitely would say go see it. I think that having discussed it more, I would say you must go see it.
All right. There we have it. There we have it. Interesting and evolving review of this film coming on the Hans and Laura Go to the Movies podcast. So, Laura, until next time.
We'll see you at the movies.
Everybody's entitled to their opinion. Everybody's entitled to their thoughts. Everybody's entitled to their opinion. But Hans and